The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is from Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, "Where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks, and these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we made it to Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is my favorite day of the year. But we're going to look at the Palm Sunday story. Previous to Palm Sunday, on the Saturday, the day before, Mary had anointed Jesus' feet with the costly perfume. And you'll recall that Judas was thoroughly disgusted that so much money, nearly a year's wages, was spent on perfume that was poured on Jesus' feet. In the week before Palm Sunday, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And word spread not only through Bethany, the small town where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, but word also spread to nearby Jerusalem. The distance from Bethany to Jerusalem is about 2 miles. So the word spread. So when Palm Sunday comes, the word had spread that Jesus of Nazareth was coming. They had heard of all of his miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, all the miraculous healings, including the raising of the dead of Lazarus. Jerusalem was filled on that first Palm Sunday because it was the week of Passover. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was one of the high points of Jesus' earthly ministry. They acknowledged him finally as king. Never again would Jesus see such large crowds gathered for him. But the whole event was a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, that the king, a humble king, would arrive on a donkey. If you want to know what the high point of Jesus' earthly ministry is, it's the death and resurrection that we'll look at later this week. But now is the beginning of Holy Week. Not only today being Palm Sunday, but all of Holy Week, keep in mind Jesus went willingly. He did not have to die. He chose to die for us. He chose to suffer. He chose to enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And for this message, I want to focus on the words, fear not. First of all, I want to look at the history, the prophecy, and those who were fearful. And then I want to conclude with the expression, fear not. As far as the history goes, why the donkey and why the palm branches? Well, the donkey was very symbolic. It was a fulfillment of the prophet Zechariah, that your king would arrive on a donkey. Why a donkey? Conquering heroes always arrive on a white horse. See, that's not something new with Westerns. Conquerors have always ridden the white horse to show that they were powerful and they had conquered all that they had seen. Jesus rides a donkey because a donkey is a very humble creature. You see a big man on a horse and it's coming towards you, you're going to move, right? You see a guy on a donkey and you don't have that same sense of awe and that same sense of look at the power and the majesty of that horse. Because a donkey just isn't that impressive of an animal. Then to top it off, Jesus rode a young donkey, which showed more humility. Should be noted that in the ancient world, whenever the king showed any sign of weakness, there could be a challenge to his kingship. Jesus would face a challenge to his kingship for different reasons, though. Jesus' kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. It wasn't associated with pomp, wealth, or power. But why the palm branches? Well, in Psalm 92, verse 12, we read, "The righteous flourish like a palm tree." The palm branches were a sign of righteousness. The palm branches were also the sign of a conquering hero. Move the history back 150 years before Jesus. Israel was controlled by the descendants of Alexander the Great. They had the biggest, the most powerful army the world had ever seen. They had armored horses, armored men. They had elephants. I'm sorry, that's cool. Warfare with elephants. Now, you want to talk about a terrifying animal, have an elephant charge at you. But what happened 150 years before Jesus, the family, a Jewish family called the Maccabees, started a rebellion against these Greeks. A bunch of farmers with pitchforks. Now tell me this would not make a great movie. I can see Mel Gibson taking a sword and rushing across the field towards an elephant to kill it. I can see him yelling freedom on top of it. Because that's exactly what the Maccabees brought to all of Israel. They defeated the Greeks, cast them out of Israel, and reestablished the kingdom of Israel. When the Maccabees came to Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem covered the way into Jerusalem with palm branches. When they do that for Jesus, it's a reckoning back to the other conquering hero who had freed Israel. Because the Jews of Jesus' day were looking for another conquering hero who would throw out the Romans. Truly, a new king had arrived and a new kingdom. As I said, many in Jerusalem that day wanted an earthly conquering hero. But they were welcoming a greater king than that. They were welcoming the King of Kings. In the Gospel of John, John writes, as he tells the Palm Sunday story, "As it is written," and he's quoting the prophet Zechariah, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Zechariah goes on in his prophecy that the gospel writer, John, the disciple, the gospel writer, did not write about. Zechariah then continued, "Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." There was something more about Jesus than just a conquering hero. He was a king who had salvation. Another reason to rejoice is we don't have to fear. Jesus brought salvation from sin, death, and the devil. He didn't come to cast out the Romans. The Roman Empire wouldn't fall for another 400 years. But with Jesus coming into Jerusalem and the events of Holy Week, we don't need to fear sin, death, and the devil. There's a double cure for sin. Not only are we forgiven of our sins, but we're also forgiven of the guilt of our sins. We're freed from the threat of punishment. All of that comes to us as a result that Jesus conquered sin, death, and the devil. He tells us to fear not. In the Palm Sunday story, who are the fearful ones? It's the religious leaders. They didn't want to lose their power. People came to them for the answers. What does the scriptures have to say about? And then the Pharisee or the scribe would tell them what the scriptures had to say. Now the crowds were going to Jesus to listen to him, and they also came for healing from him. They weren't going to the Pharisees and the scribes anymore. The radical Pharisees among them were basically saying to the more moderates, "You are gaining nothing by your delay from killing him. Something must be done quickly." They're the fearful ones in the story. But the message, "Fear not," is a message for us as well. We all remember the COVID virus and the fear that went with it. Not only did it kill, I think, close to 1 million people in the United States, but it also caused a lot of economic damage. We were fearful during that time period. It was a time when people also looked a little more to the Lord. In the Old Testament book of Judges, there's a constant theme that runs through the book of Judges: sin, judgment, and grace. The people sinned. God judged them. He punished them. And then he showed grace when the people turned to him again. We really should say, when we watch the news with the market price is going up and down, and then all the fear mongers on the news, we should say as it goes up and down, praise be to God. Mankind by nature seeks greater and greater control. In the book of Genesis, we are told to subdue the earth. By the way, not to subdue other people, but to subdue the earth. As far as returning to the Lord, you would think with all the natural resources the United States has, which, by the way, in natural resources, we don't need the rest of the world. We've got it all. That's how richly we have been blessed. But have we turned to the Lord? Largely, no. We've turned away from God. People say they don't need a God. Or they'll quote what the devil said back in Genesis to Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is acknowledging that the end is near. During Holy Week, Jesus prophesies that not only will Jerusalem be destroyed, but the temple will be destroyed as well. But he says, fear not, a greater kingdom is coming. He also says that we have an advocate with the Father. John quotes the words of Zechariah when he says, fear not, daughter of Zion, your king is coming. Jesus was coming to fulfill all the prophecies. And the message, fear not, comes through to today. Fear sells on TV. If I called up the local news station and told them that Social Security was going to be taken away and seniors were only going to get $400 a month and Medicare was going to vanish, I could get tens of thousands of people to be glued to the TV and to quote the so-called expert. Because fear sells. It's a newspaper statement. If it bleeds, it leads. That's how powerful fear is in our world today. Many people consider or are fearful and consider that the world is just chaotic, that there is no God in control, or they think about life, this is all there really is. But praise be to God, we don't have to despair. Because of Christ, we do not need to worry. Our fear is replaced by rejoicing. When things look bleak in our lives, we know that God is in control. The expression fear not appears 33 times in the Bible. And it falls in the four different categories. Fear not because of the covenant promise that God made in the Old Testament. Two, fear not because of it's referring to the salvation of the Lord. Three, fear not for the Lord is in control. And four, not, fear not for the Lord will give you strength. In Genesis 15:1, God says, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. From Genesis 26:24, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake. Exodus 14, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which will work for you today. I'm not going to quote all 33 incidences. 33 times that the expression fear not is repeated, but I will finish the quotes with Isaiah 35, verse 4. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. In all four ways that fear not is used in the Bible, God is in control. Christ is in control of all things. He came when the time was right to Jerusalem. He came to arrive as the Savior. The people cried out, "Hosanna," which means save us. So let us look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not fearing for the future, but rejoicing in the promises that he has given us and the work that he has accomplished for us on the cross. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.